Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This is WEEI Afternoons
with Andy Hart, Nick Fitzy-Stevens,
and three-time Super Bowl champion Ted Johnson on WEEI.
Ted Johnson, remember a couple weeks ago I told you about stuffed quahogs?
I do.
Well, I found a new thing that I'm going to sample, I think, tonight. I found a restaurant down by me.
Yeah.
You know how a lot of places make, like, egg rolls, buffalo chicken rolls, different things in, like, some sort of wonton paper or whatever?
Oh, I love it.
So I found a place that has stuffed quahogs in that. So it's deep fried. So it's like a stuffed quahog egg roll.
Dude, mind blown.
Yep. Not sure it's Awaken 180 approved, but I'm going off the script tonight.
Okay. All right.
Giddy up, baby. Giddy up.
Oh, my God. Well, I'm ready for that.
Enjoy that. That'll be fun. Something to look forward to.
I hope so, because I've now built it up in my mind, and if it's disappointing, it's going to be... Do you do that? Do you, like, a restaurant or
all
something, you get all excited, this, I want to try this, that, and then you get there, and you're like, nah, it's fine.
Everything in an egg roll wrapper is better.
Like, that's what I was thinking.
It's a fact. Everything in an egg... Everything deep fried, especially in an egg roll wrapper, just science. It's better.
And so far... That has proven out in my, like, I like steak and cheeses, but steak and cheese
rolls
are awesome. Buffalo chicken parm.
Do you like Ted, Andy, I don't know if you guys like a Reuben sandwich. Have you ever had a Reuben egg roll with the sauerkraut and the cheese and the pastrami in there?
I've never had it, but I would try it.
Sounds delish.
I've had those before. Those are very, very
good. You know what I don't like about the Reuben? That's on the weird bread, right? I don't love the bread.
Yeah, it's on rye bread,
it's
right?
It's got a little bitterness to it or something.
It's a unique taste.
It's a nice way of saying I don't like it.
Are you getting a side of your boom boom shrimp with this too?
Oh, I don't think this place has
That's right.
You know I was proven right, correct?
You were right.
I sent you the damn picture.
What did we think? It was popcorn or bang bang?
Bang. Oh, you guys thought it was bang bang, and it was boom boom.
At your place, it was.
Save that drop, please. 503.
And boom boom is better than bang bang. It's 5 o'clock. It's time for the drive.
This is The Drive.
Swings and drives one. High and deep. In the left field. Gone!
The top stories, stats, and quotes from around the sports world for your ride home. On WEEI Afternoons.
Leading off the drive today from our 2 o'clock hour, it's a Tuesday, 2:30 Mark Schlereth time, and he has been a tremendous addition, I would argue, to WEEI Afternoons during the football season.
That
been good, man.
He's been great.
I thought he also brought some unique perspective to the idea of, what do you do to Ramondre? I just mind my own business because I miss blocks and I take care of myself. And you know what I mean? You support him, but you know, you got enough to worry about as your own athlete, player, whatever your job is, so you're not telling Ramondre how to do his job better. But he did end us off with an interesting story from back in the day. Back in the day when it was Broncos versus Patriots, that included Mike Vrabel and Ted Johnson going against Mark Schlereth. Here's the tale.
And that's why Vrabel doesn't like me, because every time we played him, we ran it down his throat, and he didn't have success. So this is going to be a really interesting meeting. I hope he's listening to this.
Vrabel and our guy Ted Johnson probably feel the same way about that, just running it down their throats.
Can I just tell you,
yep.
Ted Johnson's head and... His head and his neck are made of cinder block and rebar. That dude, he got me once on, I got caught up. We're down by the goal line in Denver playing. And Ted Johnson comes from about 5 yards deep, like a heat-seeking missile with just nothing but that forehead and that neck. And he catches you right in the side of the helmet. And your knees just buckle and you just flop to the ground. Yeah, he's gotten me on that one before.
Great story. He also, I think he said something like had a keg head. which is kind of funny. Like when you really think so, Keghead Ted is now Ted. A new
You like that better than the neck? Keghead Ted?
Or better than Cementhead Ted or Ted the Head?
Yeah, Cementhead Ted seems mean.
Ted the Neck? Cementhead Ted has a very negative connotation. By the way, Ted, I forgot to tell you, you probably saw Ty Law this weekend, yes?
I did, yep.
I ran into Ty Law a few weekends ago at an event, and Ty Law said, oh, yeah, you're the guy on the afternoon show with Ted Johnson. You tell him, I wasn't sure Teddy could cover, but, man, that MF-er could hit like nobody else.
I love it. Thank you, Ty.
They questioning your coverage skills?
Well, you know what? It was...
Because it's coming from Ty Law, like a guy draped over people like a human blanket.
You know, they never really gave me the chance. They just said,
you know why?
You're not on third down. You're not going to be on third. Hey. I was a third down player early in my career, I will have you know, and... Only one interception, but they didn't throw in my zone. Right? You know, it was I always had my guy
covered. Because they feared the cement hit that was coming up. That's right, Ted.
Let me just tell you this.
Tell Andy.
Schlereth has a reason to kind of rub it in our faces.
Yeah.
That offensive line for the Broncos gave us our biggest issues. They were well coached. It was a phenomenal system. Alex Gibbs, the offensive line coach for Mark Schlereth and that offensive line. And Tom Nalen is probably the best center I've ever played against. Phenomenal offensive line for the Denver Broncos. They gave us fits, man.
And you weren't the only ones. I mean, they were churning out 1,000-yard rushers. That was that whole span of, you know, obviously Davis.
Mike Anderson.
Landis Gary. Yeah. They went through that whole stretch there. Yeah. Kind of didn't matter who the running back was. The offensive line said, just follow us. We'll get to you to 1,000 yards back
totally.
Here. That was a great system. Didn't they kind of alter the rules because of them? They started to change cut blocking rules.
Oh, you couldn't cut block.
Yeah.
That was what they were so effective is how good they were at cut blocking. And so now you can't do it. I wish I could play him now, damn it. Different story.
Hey, Schlereth, you'll be in town for the game on Sunday. Ted Johnson wants a rematch. Keghead Ted wants to get back at you. Okay, so that was a good little story about Ted. Now let's see if I can get a good little story from Brian Hoyer about an idea I've had. I believe I argued with Christian Arcand about this. I think he called this one of the dumbest ideas he's ever heard. But I have an idea for the NFL and young quarterbacks, and I shared it with Brian Hoyer. I've had this idea, and I want you to tell me how dumb or not dumb it might be. I think there should be an NFL rule where there's a forced red shirt for rookie quarterbacks. They're not allowed to play in their first season across the board. Is that dumb or would that pay off in the long run?
I mean, I don't think it's dumb.
Stop it right there. We don't have time for the rest of the answer, I feel like.
Please.
I mean,
it's only 5:08.
I mean, he kind of like, kind of him and hot a little bit.
Play the rest.
Go watch Tom Brady with Colin Cowherd and talk about the development of quarterbacks. I mean, honestly, if you look at the best players in our game right now at that position, whether it's Mahomes or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson or even Justin Herbert, who I think has established himself as probably a top five quarterback, those guys didn't have to play right away. Now, at some point in their rookie years, they played, but there is so much to learn, and it's not just on the field. It's off the field. It's in the meeting room. It's just your everyday life. I mean, I couldn't even imagine having played for 15 years. I don't think I was actually even ready to play in the NFL until about my fifth or sixth year. And there's a lot that goes into it. Now, there's obviously guys who are super talented. There's guys who can handle it, like Jaden Daniels did last year. Or I guess you even go back to, you know, like an Andrew Luck. There's going to be guys who come in and can handle it.
So I think there was a lot of agreement with me.
Ben Roethlisberger, 15-1 his rookie year.
Yeah, the one-offs. I can probably give you 10 guy that, you know, got ruined by playing early for everyone.
Yeah, you could.
You easily. Joked about it. Jackson Dart hasn't played a game yet.
Good luck,
and you already think there's a chance he's going to get ruined
he's
by being
get
thrown out.
Killed.
And why is he being thrown out there?
Because Brian Daboll is worried about losing his job, and this is his last ditch effort to save his job.
And that's why, to save coaches from themselves, to save owners from themselves, I firmly believe it would have to be a rule. You know, it's basically what the Celtics kind of did with Larry Bird. They drafted him a year early, different circumstances, but draft a guy. If you're all in on Drake May, if the landscape is when you want a quarterback, you have to wait a year. Everybody else is doing it too, right? So, like, the Bears would have had to wait for Caleb Williams. The Commanders would have had to wait for Jaden Dale. Everybody's in the same boat, but you think you drafted the guy and you're getting him ready to just, boom, hit the ground running, unveil him. I think it would benefit everybody involved, the teams, the quarterbacks, the league, like everybody.
It would. It's just how do you pay? How do you pay somebody not to play? That's the owners would have issue with paying somebody not to play.
It's an investment and not screwing them up. Because now what you're doing is paying them and then you're cutting them in year three. Or, right, you're moving on from them. Like, okay, it's an investment in the future. you know, players get paid to rehab. Red Sox have done it a million times. They'll sign a pitcher. I'll pay you $10 million this year to basically rehab because we want you to be our starting pitcher next year.
I don't know if we want to get too deep in the weeds with this,
probably
but
not.
If you're not playing him, how are you developing him?
Practice.
Just practice? Okay. I mean,
you ever hear the stories of Patrick
Mahomes?
Just
running scout team?
No, he's getting reps, and you'd have to manage it a little bit differently. You'd have to manage it because everybody told me Patrick Mahomes was putting on a show
in practice
that year that he was behind Alex Smith. And I was actually dubious. If you go back and look, Fitzy, I believe Patrick Mahomes was like a top five preseason candidate, odds-on favorite to win the MVP before he had even played because of the stories that were coming out of Kansas City about how good he was in practice. So,
yeah, and because of how good his college tape was, and don't forget because of who
his college tape didn't get him drafted that high. His college tape was better.
Well, he was still top half of the first round. Yeah, I mean, that's 10 or 12.
Yeah.
And they traded up for him as well, so he was always on the radar, and Andy Reid knew that was going to be his guy. But rare is the case where you get someone who sits behind a Pro Bowl-level quarterback who's got his team going to the playoffs and has one of the greatest offensive minds of all time to develop him during that redshirt year.
Yeah, I just... You know, Brian Daboll, I'm not saying he's Andy Reid, but he helped Josh Allen to break out. I think Brian Daboll with Jackson Dart for a year would be more prepared for that guy to play next year. Like, I think it's just obvious. Everybody would be better off. And as Brian said, it's not just the on the field. It's watching press conferences, watching leadership, watching huddles and locker room and all of these becoming a professional, right? Taking care of your body, any of the million things that you're learning kind of on the fly. And, oh, by the way, hey, Jackson Dart, go out and beat the Eagles twice in 3 weeks. Wait, what'd you say? The Eagles? The Super Bowl champs that don't lose? You want me to beat them twice? I've never
three
played.
First rounders on their defensive line?
Do I have to play in the middle? Oh, the Chargers? Cool.
Right.
But okay, so this does raise the curious case, though, of J.J. McCarthy. Yes, he fell on his face week two and got injured in the process, but week one had that furious comeback, looked good. People said, hey, this kid benefited from having a year off to sit behind Sam Darnold and listen to Kevin O'Connell. So there's a veritable redshirt example right there.
And we'll see if it works. I mean, we don't have enough information, data
Not
to fly
data.
On. That one quarter was really good. Speaking of really good quarters, Jason Tatum's had a lot of those in the NBA, Ted Johnson. And I think you and I have talked about Jaylen Brown's year, Jaylen Brown's team. Well, Jason Tatum is making the rounds of the media today, and he kind of gave you a little bit of a Lee Corso not so fast, my friend.
Well, for one, this is like maybe the third time. I haven't said I'm not playing this season.
Okay.
But also, I don't go to rehab 6 days a week for nothing. But with that being said, with being a part of the organization and the Celtics, there is a standard that we play to, that we uphold, regardless of, you know, who we have in the lineup, who's on the team, who's not. There's a sense of pride that we have when we put that uniform on, and we always are competing to win a championship. And that standard will not change.
That was Jason Tatum, almost like annoyed, like, I'm going to say it for the third time. I never said I wasn't playing this year.
Yeah. What do you think is underlying that that statement?
I think he plans on playing this year.
Oh, okay. I thought you were was he trying to take some shine off of your boy JB?
Yeah, that's my conspiracy theory. This is Nike, Olympics, all the back and forth we've gone through over the years.
Like he's hijacking I want the attention on me kind of thing.
It's still Jason Tatum's team, and it'll be Jason Tatum's team this year because I'm going to play at some point.
Right.
Don't get too comfortable driving my car or whatever or sleeping in my bed. You're renting. I own.
That's
this
interesting.
Team.
There's like. I can sign off on some of that, for sure.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think there might be some to that.
I also don't think it's a bad thing for anybody involved. Like, us as fans. You know, so not only do we look at the Celtics as what they are, but, well, if they can stay competitive enough to be the four seed, and then Jason Tatum can give them some minutes when you get to the postseason.
Keep us on the hook, man.
It's going to be a very interesting season. And my guy, Jaylen Brown, could use the help because you tore the roster down around him, right? Speaking of which, Bill Chisholm will hold his first press conference later this week. I believe on Thursday we'll have some comments about the Celtics from their new owner. As I joked on Twitter, Big Chisholm week. We could get Efton Chisholm and Bill Chisholm in 1 week.
How about JT making a second appearance to a Patriots event? He was at the game, I think, on Sunday. So he was at a practice earlier this summer. We were all at. And then he showed up for the Patriots game. So he's a big Patriots fan now.
Well, the Patriots are cool now. Drake May and Mike Vrabel are making the Patriots cool again,
I like
baby.
It.
I mean, Not so much Sunday when they were actually there, when the game could not have been any less cool with the, as Fitzy points out quite accurately, it's really a 6-turnover game. When you turn the ball over on downs, that's a turnover.
That's right.
That's exactly what they call it, turnover on downs. It starts with the word turnover.
Yep.
So that's a 6-turnover. Let's go back to the phone lines, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Steve in the car. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Andy. Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
Steve. I've been saying that for about a year and a half, 2 years, that these guys shouldn't play for a couple of reasons. One, the quality of play is not great, right? You see, they're scared to death, making dumb plays that they never made in college because the game's so much faster. The NFL has to come up with a way to protect these guys. They're ruining their careers. How many guys are not in football anymore that got drafted 4 or 5 years ago because they weren't prepared? The trial by fire quarterback is not the way to go, and I can't believe that they can't come up with something to protect these young men from going in there. And, you know, plus the quality of play sucks.
Thanks for the call, Steve.
I think the poster child for this argument is Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck should theoretically still be playing. He should be in his 13th or 14th year. He was a brilliant talent whose career was cut short because he got hit all the freaking time and they didn't protect him. And it ruined what was a transcendent type player.
I'm amazed at the trouble. And Christian Arcan had this problem when I argued with him about my idea for a red shirt rule. People have trouble kind of grasping the idea. Somebody said, why would you waste a number one pick to sit a player? Because if you believe the player is Andrew Luck or John Elway or Peyton Manning or Patrick Mahomes, do you think the Chiefs regret not playing Patrick Mahomes his first year? I think they're doing okay, Fitzy, as they go to their 9th AFC title game and they collect Super Bowl rings. And they
also went to the playoffs that year as well.
No, but even if they didn't, if you told me that they went 1-15 that year, you think Andy Reid would trade a 1-15 year for, I don't know, 15 years of dominance with the best Super quarterback Bowls in football?
I'd
that's what you're doing. You're investing in the future.
The best example is right here. Tom Brady basically sat his rookie year.
Correct.
In a sense, and then got his chance the second year.
So we have another texter that says, what if you need a QB? Will they agree to a one-year deal just to be a filler? I mean, we saw Jacoby Brissett agree to a one-year deal for a one-month filler.
Guys would line up for a one-year.
Right.
Yeah, guys would line
up. And I actually think it benefits those guys because those guys can make $8, $10 million for 1 year to fill in.
It's just how do you sell it to the fan base? We're going to play a guy that's not very good so that the guy that's really good can rest a year and learn.
Because we're investing in the future. Yeah. And the Red Sox have done it. We didn't love it. But we had to deal with bridge years and long term and wait till Meyer and Anthony get here and all these things. And I also think
that's a good point.
If it's the way business is being done, it'll become more the norm. The initial transition, I do think, would be weird.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody, he's not going to go there anymore, but if somebody took Arch Manning first in next year's draft and then goes, oh, you know he doesn't play for a full year. He's just going to practice. You can come down to training camp, watch him in training camp a little bit, and then put a pin in it, and we'll revisit that a year later. Tough transition, but I'll tell you, the NFL has made a lot of tough transitions over the years that we just eat up because we love the sport, we're addicted to it, and if you market it properly and show everybody all the failures over the years of quarterbacks, like the Cleveland Browns, you could have avoided 17 draft picks in a row at quarterback, maybe, if you didn't ruin all of them. Maybe if Johnny Manziel had waited a year, you'd have a better quarterback and you'd stick, and then you wouldn't have to draft all the ones that came
Chicago
after
Bears.
Him. All of them.
Yeah.
They all have examples. Mac Jones, even though he was pretty good as a rookie, it didn't go great overall.
Because they gave him a defensive coordinator to, quote, develop him his second year.
Let's go back to the phone lines. Somebody seemed to hear me earlier question Fitzy about Edelman's Hall of Fame status, Pro Football Hall of Fame. Let's go to JT in the Cape. What's up, JT?
Hey, thanks for taking the call. And good interviews with Hoyer. Keep him on. He's awesome. Secondly, yeah, Edelman should definitely be in the Hall of Fame. I don't think the Hall of Fame is just about numbers just flat across the board. It's definitely about value and what a player contributes to the team and the league. Like, he's second all-time in postseason receptions, second all-time in postseason yards, averages over 6 catches and 70 yards a game in the postseason, 3-time Super Bowl champion, and he's one of 7 receivers to ever win the MVP in the Super Bowl. I would much rather have that guy on my team than a guy like Megatron, who's a stat queen and just racks up numbers in the regular season, and it all amounts to nothing in the end. Like, this guy was a major contributor to the dynasty, the second evolution of the Patriots.
Thanks for the call, JT. Did he call Megatron a stat queen?
Is he
that,
did.
That's exactly what he did.
That's a new one on me.
I've never heard it, but it doesn't sound complimentary.
I don't think stat queen is fair on a number of levels, especially since, I don't know, maybe Calvin Johnson didn't want to be drafted into what was at the time the most non-competitive and dysfunctional team. Yeah. In the NFL, you put Megatron on Dan Campbell's Detroit Lions. See you on your second consecutive duck boat parade.
It's not the craziest thing to suggest that he could should be worthy of a Hall of Fame induction. But I'd also say, well, what about Wes Welker?
He's high. My
he had
list,
a way better regular season numbers than Julian,
and he was going to win the MVP of Super Bowl 42 until they didn't win Super Bowl 42, and you couldn't. And that different Super Bowl.
Sorry.
But also Julian Edelman willingly played safety and cornerback in 2011 when the team was in the toilet. He was a good punt return. He added special teams. I'm just saying, like, the overall quality of him as a football player, in addition to his receiver bona fides, to me, makes him Canton worthy.
I know we're up against it, but I would make the argument that postseason stats shouldn't count as far as the Hall of Fame.
Oh, then he's porked.
I would make that argument.
Wow, Ted, those stats come against the best teams.
I'm just saying, I don't think they should be counted because there's a lot of guys that are on crappy teams that never get to the playoffs.
Yeah, Barry Sanders isn't good because he barely got to the playoffs. Right. Like, Barry Sanders is one of the five best running backs that ever played the game.
To make it even, just do regular season performance. That's my...
Teddy Johnson just came to my side on the Julian Edelman argument, it feels like. Yeah. And real quick, I would argue Stanley Morgan and Wes Welker deserve to go to the Pro Football Hall of Fame ahead of Julian Edelman. Get those two guys in, and then I'll talk about Edelman. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, we're going to talk about the Boston Red Sox. Six games left. The season is on the line. They could go 6-0, or as Dan Ball predicts, they could go 0-6 or something in the middle. Let's look at this series that starts tonight with the Blue Jays. Then the Tigers are up next. Little Red Sox talk up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball has something he wants to say in addition to his trending because he doesn't like my tease.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
I just think thinks is possible and predicts are two separate things. But Andy can put whatever words in my mouth he wants. Trending now on WEEI, brought to you by Mario's Roofing. We won't soak you to keep you warm and dry. The Red Sox open up a three-game series on the road against the Blue Jays. First pitch of Game 1 is set for 7:07. Lucas Giolito is on the mound for the Sox opposite Kevin Gausman. Here's your lineup for tonight. As Jaron Duran leads off in left, then it's Trevor Story at short. Alex Bregman at third. Masataka Yoshida is your DH with Romy Gonzalez at second. Sadon Rafael in center. Nathaniel Lowe at first, Willie Abreu in right, and Carlos Narvaez your catcher, and he is batting ninth. You can listen to tonight's game on WEEI FM 93.7 and across the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. MassMutual pregame show with Christian Arcanis tonight at 6:07, and Will Fleming and Mike Monaco have the call of the game. Garrett Crochet goes for the Red Sox tomorrow, with Brian Bayo slated to start on Thursday. Also new this afternoon from ESPN's Jeff Passan, Major League Baseball will implement a challenge system for balls and strikes for the 2026 season after the league's competition committee voted to do so. Patriots players were off today. New England hosts the Carolina Panthers on Sunday at 1 o'clock. Both teams are 1-2. The Panthers beat the Falcons 30-0 this weekend, pick up their first win of the year. From around the league, 49ers defensive end Nick Bosa will miss the rest of the season with a torn ACL in his right knee. Chargers running back Najee Harris is also done for the year as he suffered a season-ending Achilles tear. The Giants are planning to bench quarterback Russell Wilson in favor of first-round rookie Jackson Dart after three games. And Buccaneers wide receiver Mike Evans is expected to miss 3 to 4 weeks with a strained left hamstring. And finally, the Bruins return to the ice for their second preseason game. They visit the New York Rangers tonight at Madison Square Garden. Puck drop is at 7 p.m. Homeowners choose Mario's Roofing because they're fair, honest, and provide quality services. Call Mario's Roofing today for a free estimate at 781-344-2420. I'm Dan Ball. This is Trending Now on WEEI and WEEI.com. More afternoons coming up right after this.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos,
maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can stream the show or listen on demand anytime. Just download the Odyssey app.
That's AUDACY.
Save WEEI as a favorite and listen wherever you go. Now, more of WEEI Afternoons.
With Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
It was one of those tough nights that, you know, you felt like you were right in the game, but it didn't happen. The bullpen, they did a good job, you know. Towards the end, it's hard, you know, to use, you know, Witt or Chappie, you know, down one, understanding where we at, you know, and where we going this week, you know. So, seen a single, a bloop single, and then we put Peyton in that situation. We got an 0-2, you know, and now we're prepared for the next one.
That was Red Sox manager Alex Cora. After the disappointing end to the series in Tampa, Red Sox take 2 out of 3, but lose the finale, don't play overly well, some base running issues, some of the early season issues. Alex Cora will join us here on WEEI Afternoons tomorrow, 2:30, in the midst of the most important week of the season by far, not just because it's the last week, but because they're running out of time to nail down a playoff spot. We'll also talk to Adam Schefter tomorrow, 3:45, and Kevin Stevens, Ted Johnson, will be in studio with us.
Yes, Kevin Stevens, a longtime NHL player, multi-Stanley Cup winner. He's got he's a terrific guy. He's dealt with addiction issues. He's got a foundation, an event on Thursday night in the Seaport. Him and his awesome, awesome sister, Kelly, will be in to talk about the foundation. They're great, great people. They'll be in at 4:30 tomorrow.
All right, before we get to this Red Sox series, let's clean up a couple phone calls here because this Edelman chatter has gotten people riled up. Let's go to Dan in Nashua. What's up, Dan?
Hey, guys. Just real quick, to that guy who was talking about Calvin Johnson, you know, having done nothing in the playoffs, the guy only played in 2 playoff games. And in one, he had 12 catches for 211 yards.
Oof.
And the other one, he had 5 catches for 85. So, you know, not his fault he didn't make the playoffs a lot, but when he was there, he balled out pretty good.
Yeah.
Thanks for the call, Dan.
He was there's freaks, and then there's super freaks, and then there's Megatron.
Unbelievable.
Golly.
Awesome. Would you say top 10 wide receiver all-time NFL?
Yeah. Talent-wise, yeah.
Definitely talent-wise.
And the Atlanta Falcons.
Julio?
Julio Jones.
There's just so many, and there becomes more and more. Now more and more when there's teams with 2 receivers and you start comparing stats and modern stats, and that's why a guy like Stanley Morgan gets screwed. You played in the 70s, but you averaged 20 yards a catch, basically. Mm-hmm. Just a different time. Let's go back to the phone calls. David in the car has a thought on Edelman. What's up, David?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. This is an excellent topic. And Edelman deserves to be on the Hall of Fame over Wes Welker, and this is why I say that. First of all, if you look at him, he's got 3 Super Bowls, one of them being an MVP. Part of the Super Bowls that he won, one of the 28-3, Edelman played a big part on that Super Bowl as they came back and won that. Wes Welker lost the Super Bowl for us in 2011.
You mean that bad throw from Brady? That bad throw from Brady? Is that the one you're talking about?
No.
Is that the one you're talking about, David? Thanks for the call, David. I get the button.
We're big proponents of 2 things can be true on this program, and that was not Brady's best throw, but Wes should have caught the ball.
I think they both would argue they should have done better on that play. I think they both would argue that.
I don't think that one play should define whether or not he gets in the Hall of Famer.
And maybe don't try to throw a 50-yard pass to Gronk on one ankle with Chase Blackburn in coverage. Maybe don't throw, say, you know, everybody had their mistakes.
And this is a passionate, I actually love this topic.
It's a great one.
And especially the Welker Edelman dynamic. Edelman is the postseason clutch Super Bowl winner. Welker was a multi-time All-Pro. Not a slot receiver. He was an All-Pro. Like, he was the best receiver in football.
6 years in a row, he had more than 100 catches.
Ridiculous.
6 years in a row.
Redefined the position. And a lot of people, that one play has tainted the view of a lot of people for Wes Welker.
It's a shame.
I think
it was a shame.
With me, the parent, it was one play. It was a big play, Fokker. It was just one play, but it was a big play, Fokker.
You caught me off guard there. I didn't see that one coming, Ted. Okay, so the Red Sox, the Blue Jays, 6 games left. You got Giolito tonight. How are we feeling about the Red Sox chances? Dan Ball, actually, you need to start this segment.
Let's go,
because
Dan.
You don't like how I am articulating your thoughts on the final six games of the season and their chances. So let's get it from the horse's mouth.
Okay, good pick of the end there of the horse there at the end of that sentence. Yeah, no, I think you were just a little too severe in the characterization of what I'm saying. I'm just saying it is definitely a somewhat likely possibility that this team could flame out at the end of the season because of the evidence I presented yesterday that they have had a lot of trouble closing out on series and showing the kind of killer instinct that I think is indicative of a playoff team. They're one Trevor Story cold week away from having 0 out of 9 guys that I trust at the plate right now.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah, that's,
I
mean, yeah, that's.
How can you be optimistic about this lineup, the way they're hitting right now?
It's hard to be, but I actually used Dan Ball and sort of his feelings as the root for my poll today at Jumbo Heart at WEEI Afternoons. How many of the final six games against the Blue Jays and Tigers are you expecting the Red Sox to win? And the options I gave with 2 or less, 3 to 4, 5 or 6.
You should have put 0.
I know, but I no, because no one thinks, other than you, no one thinks 0. You would have been the only one voting.
Genius walks alone.
So 3 to 4 is getting by far the most votes, 70%. So 70% of Red Sox fans think they're at least going to split the final six games of the season. 27% is next with 2 or less, and only 3% believe they're going to win 5 or 6 to roll right on to the postseason.
Eins bis drei. 1, 2, 3. They win 3. They win 1 against Toronto, 2 the final weekend of the season, and squeak their ass in. It is an ultimate backup into the playoffs with no momentum. And then what are you doing next week? Praying that the starting pitching comes back around and that they get involved in a lot of 2-1, 3-2 games, guys.
I don't want to introduce this topic late in the show, but I do want to put a pin in the idea of, if they make the playoffs, it's a successful season, correct?
Absolutely, yes.
Yep. Like,
you can almost argue that it is already, if you wanted to.
Almost argue, but if Dan Ball's right and they lose the final six games of the season and they miss the playoffs?
Disaster. Fold the franchise. What do you mean? Sell the team.
You're saying if they go 1-5, they still make the playoffs?
Well, there's we're not doing that.
2-4?
Nope, we're not doing that. All right. Listened to Jones
what
and
about
Keith
3-3?
Do that. Nope, they did the whole rundown and my head started to hurt and I numbers and I'm not SATs. But I will say, if they lose six games, Dan Ball, or let's just say they lose they only win 1 or 2. It's going to be hard next Monday to come on here at 2 o'clock on a Patriots Monday and say, "Woo, successful season for the Red Sox when they
right,
are
they
done."
Limped in,
like,
yeah.
You can't. It's
you'd kind of have to characterize it as, "Oh, it was a promising season. It was a season that you can build off of." But unfortunately, we've had a lot of seasons the last couple where you've had that same takeaway,
and you're going to just be pointing to the injuries, most notably to Roman Anthony, who became, over the course of the season, became your best player and then the biggest loss you could have possibly had, even though I don't know if we knew he was even this big at the time.
That is what not kinda the number one thing I'd point to also. To Ted's point, I'm pointing to the trade deadline once again.
That's number one for sure. What kind of update, by the way, when we talk to Alex Cora on the Wednesday edition of WEI Afternoons, what kind of update do we think we're going to get on Roman Anthony?
Well, see, he was feeling good, but then he went to Gillette, and he was so mad that he saw a second fumble that he reacted and then pulled it, and he's done for the rest
of his life.
He's
now up to 30 minutes of walking on the treadmill.
That's what
he's
did.
Walking
on the
treadmill 30 minutes now.
He was so mad at Ramondre's second fumble, he threw a beer and then restrained his oblique.
He actually passed the 80-year-old woman at the mall, and now he's walking faster than her, which is a good sign. But in all seriousness, it's hard to have confidence. I get where you are, Dan. I get where you are, Ted. But I also just, you have to, in some sense, say they're a good baseball team, and they have 3 good starting pitchers. Do we all agree on that?
Yes.
Do we still agree they're all good still, even though
they've had good seasons.
Good seasons, less good of late is probably a way you could describe them.
One dominant, 2 good.
So if you have 3 good pitchers in the final six games of the season, even if you win 2 out of 3 of those, that's 2 wins right there, steal one of the others, boom, there's your 3-3 over the end of the season. I don't think anybody expects them. I do believe, Dan Ball, there's a better chance they go 0-6 than going 6-0. That is where I will join you. Like, I don't feel good about them suddenly getting hot and putting things together. In fact, based on the other night, where base running issues are now going to be an issue again, and like, are we actually regressing? Are we going backwards? Is defense becoming an issue? I was all over Bregman. He gets that ball and throws home and throws it 12 feet short of the
plate. What do we think their number one issue is right now? Number one.
Offense.
not getting hitting runners when they're in scoring position.
There was a joke.
No clutch hitting.
Yesterday, Ted, on the text line that the worst-case scenario currently for all Boston sports teams are the Patriots on the goal line or the Red Sox with the bases loaded.
Yeah.
Because you don't score. Yep. That's just not how it works. And that's unfortunate that there's like this negative – there's like a little negative cloud over the team, which is shouldn't how it be, right? Like, we're in it. I go back to that Shaughnessy column last year. It is September 23rd. They have six meaningful baseball games. It's essentially playoff baseball tonight. Like, you can go home, turn your TV on, turn your radio on, time them up nicely, listen to Will Fleming, and watch a playoff baseball game. That's what this is tonight, right?
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't we enjoy that?
Yeah, enjoy it.
When was the last time we had that?
It's been four years.
4 years, Fitzy. Yeah. So when something comes along once every fifth year, shouldn't you enjoy it? It's like Halley's Comet.
This is a leap year where you could have playoffs in your hand and then you let it go.
I don't know. Who I usually feel like I lean into the negative, Fitzy, and you've done enough of these with me over the years.
Mm-hmm.
There's an opportunity to be positive here. So why be negative? Like, why choose to have a negative view when you have six games to play, and if you split them, you're probably going to the postseason?
Because I think people wanted that postseason so badly, and they're so frustrated by the way the last couple of weeks have gone that it's hard not to start getting back into pre-2004 vibes, Ted.
It's hard, right, Fitzy? It's like the June and July were magical. I mean, it was, like, incredible. I mean, we've been at games where, you know, walk-off home runs. It was a magical season. They limped out of the gate. Mm-hmm. And they had to trade their best player, and it was ugly there. And then they figured it out, and it was awesome summer. And I think it's the way it's finishing is just got people down and nervous of what we experienced for those 2 months in the summer.
You should be nervous, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't have some hope. And I think it's your guy who you helped induct on Saturday. If you get in the tournament, anything can happen, right?
That's it.
So if they, let's say, I don't even know if this works mathematically, but let's say they go 1-5, but somehow sneak in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you get a chance.
Yeah.
You got a puncher's chance. And I think your right-hand punch, your starting pitching, your Garrett Crochet gives you a little bit more than a puncher's chance because he can go out there and win you game one. And once you win game one, all bets are off. Now you get a shot, right? You gave yourself a shot. So I am going to choose to be optimistic.
Okay.
Until I watch the game.
That's just because you're getting egg rolls tonight.
And I'm getting egg rolls, and it also could change. When I sit down for my egg rolls and my Miller Lite and I look up and it goes, walk, home run, 3-0. Yeah, my optimism will be gone, and I'll be with Dan Ball predicting them to go 0-6 over the final six games of the season. Coming up here on WEEI Afternoons, it's time for Odds and Ends. Well, we'll hear about Tom Brady, PETA, and Lane Kiffin. We'll tell you what all that, how that can all connect next here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, more of WEEI Afternoons
with Hart, Fitzy, and Johnson.
WEEI Afternoons.
So fresh, so clean.
Oh, boy.
Okay, Ted.
Okay.
Ted Johnson's singing is brought to you by Cars for Kids, your trusted charity for car donations. Also accepts donations of boats.
So clean.
RVs, motorcycles, and real estate. Call today, 877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. That's Cars with a K. Time now for Odds and Ends. And as our rundown says, Brady Dog's comment and Lane Kiffin's daughter.
Oh,
so let's do dealer's choice. Which one you want first, Brady or Lane Kiffin's daughter?
Let's get Lane Kiffin's daughter out of the way first.
Okay, so Lane Kiffin's daughter is based on the photos on social media, an attractive young college girl.
Let me Google.
Okay.
Lane Kiffin's daughter.
Who has announced that she has a relationship with a starting linebacker on LSU.
Always go for the linebackers.
You know who LSU...
My man. Smart.
Yep. You know who LSU is playing this week?
Who?
Ole Miss. Oh. You know who coaches Ole Miss?
Who?
Lane Kiffin.
Lane Kiffin.
So Lane Kiffin is coaching against his daughter's boyfriend. Well, Lane Kiffin saw a post about this on social media, and Lane Kiffin, blue checkmark, said, quote, take the over.
Oh, love it.
Sounds like Lane Kiffin is planning on running the score up on LSU. I don't know if he's capable. LSU is pretty good this year. But I love Lane Kiffin. For a while there, I thought he was a dink. When he was what was his low point? Did he leave Tennessee to go to the Raiders and he kind of left him in the lurch?
Yeah. I was going to say, didn't he also flame out terribly at USC?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know.
He revived his career like being the OC at Alabama, didn't he?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
When he used to scream at Nick Saban. They did not get along, but that's an example of Nick Saban knowing this is a great coach. Yeah. I can use him for a year. We can have some success, and then he can go be a coach. He is at Ole Miss, and his daughter, as I said, attractive daughter, is, all right, Ted, is dating a linebacker from LSU. LSU Ole Miss this week. This time it's personal, and Lane Kiffin seems like he wants to embarrass defense that he's going
against. A lot of ace ices at that middle linebacker. Get ready, bud.
The hell's that? Mm-hmm. What was that?
It's just a lead draw. Fullback on the linebacker all day.
Oh, I think it's more than that. I think there's some of that. And then there'll be some of those Steve Sarkisian where they try to get, like, the slot receiver one-on-one with the linebacker so they can
like
throw
a little Spolane
and all of a sudden he's chasing
game.
Him down. Yes, embarrass him so he's diving for ankles as the guy enters the end zone.
You want to marry my daughter, huh?
Yes, Dan Ball.
So the player you're looking for getting blown up on the screen this weekend is Whit Weeks, number 40. Looks like he's a captain, but that may not stop Lane Kiffin one bit this weekend.
Interesting. And, okay, so now we got to pay off the Tom Brady. End of the tease. Tom Brady had some, they weren't even interesting comments, but they seem like maybe they're going to get him in trouble. So have a listen for yourself.
And Pick's not happy. Those helmets can be, it's like the dog at home.
Timeout on the field.
Wow. Kick the dog, throw the helmet. Man, oh whatever man. It is.
Kick the dog, throw the helmet.
You know, just what other people say.
I get that kick the dog used to be a thing.
Man.
It's not a thing anymore.
They came at him for that.
Yeah, but Tom Brady tries to say nothing interesting to stay out of trouble, and he still ends up getting in trouble. Yeah.
Weird dude.
Yeah.
Weird. He's just a weird guy sometimes.
Yeah but that's just because you're a Belichick guy. You've chosen sides.
Bill's not weird, though.
Bill's not weird at all. Nothing weird about Bill. Tom Brady weird, but Bill isn't. Great.
That's an odd phrase. Like, if Brady's just looking for something off of one of those books that sits on the back of the toilet to describe frustration, and he digs up that phrase, it is a little weird. I don't think anyone has said that anytime recently.
Well, you're also implying that you know what everybody does after a bad day.
Kick the dog.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, they might have 100 years
blow.
Ago.
I mean,
they also might have shot the dog behind the shed, but it's a different
time,
Tom Brady.
They used to spank kids in school. Well, you know, that used to be allowed.
Right.
So you should bring that back.
Throw the helmet. Man, oh, whatever man. It is.
Told you, Fitzy's kid got a C, and I was worried about the poor kid.
I'd wrap him across the knuckles. By the way, I feel the... you guys know the Patriots had a bunch of players in for tryouts today, right?
Okay, what do you got?
What do you got?
You ready for this?
Let's hear it.
Guys, they had tight end Drake Dabney out of TCU, wide receiver Rakim Jarrett out of Maryland, wide receiver Brendan Rice out of USC, and offensive tackle Aiden Williams from Minnesota Duluth. So zero running backs
in
today.
No kickers, no running backs.
Nothing to see here. Move along, Ramondre. Start the game.
I'm kind of shocked.
Christian Arkin joining the show. Christian, what do you got tonight?
Hi, Andy. I liked how we got a view into the mind of Andy Hart today. I thought that was really nice.
Uh-oh.
Not only did we get an incredible trade proposal, which I think really Wolf should be on the line for that right now, but you brought back up that weird red shirt quarterback thing, which the reason why I gave you so much heat for that is because when you brought it up, it was right after you had just finished arguing that Drake May should be starting ahead of Jacoby Brissett. And then you literally turned around and said, but also, so every quarterback should redshirt for their first year. And that's why I got frustrated and started yelling at you, among other reasons, I'm sure. But that was the reason why.
That encapsulates Andy Hart perfectly, though.
It kind of does. I want to push back here, but
it's kind of, you know.
Kind of does.
It's kind of your thing.
It's kind of my
thing.
Yeah.
You know, self-sabotage.
You being nice. That was dumb.
What do you got tonight?
I got about 4 minutes to get everybody ready for this Red Sox series here. I think that, you know, when and I heard you guys talking about the numbers, and I heard Jones and Keefe talking about it, too. I'm mad at them, by the way, with their Cap'n Crunch slander. Like, what is that
about? That was ridiculous.
Also, Cookie Crisp didn't deserve to be in that bottom rung, either. That's Cap'n
Crunch Berries is the...
Crunch Berries are great.
The best.
But as far as the numbers are concerned, all it takes is just that one when they're all tied, and then all of a sudden, it's just chaos.
Chaos.
You know, that's where we are right now. Embrace the chaos.
Embrace the chaos. You got playoff baseball, essentially, tonight. Red Sox, Blue Jays, Giolito on the bump. Hopefully, he gets the job done. Either way, I don't care. I'm having deep-fried stuffed cohogs or something with a Miller Lite. Stick around for the Mass Mutual pregame show with Christian Arcand. He'll get you all riled up for Red Sox baseball. We'll be back tomorrow. Remember, Kevin Stevens in studio, 2:30, the manager of the Boston Red Sox, and 3:45, Adam Schefter. That's all 2-6. Talk to you then.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.